And I climbed up the hillside and onto the ladder. He walks along and he says, just take my hand. I thought it was peculiar, like the worst thing, but seeing me holding someone's hand like this, but still, he says, hold his hand, so hold his hand. So I just held his hand, and I don't know, it seems so strange. As soon as I touch his hand, it's just as if everything went sort of peculiar. It's as if everything gradually seemed to disappear. It's as if I was sort of, I don't know, going to sleep, I suppose, in a kind of way. And it wasn't like sleep, it was just a sort of lacking of understanding and realization of things, and then forgotten. I became sort of unconscious, I suppose. Next thing I knew, I was standing in our kitchen and watching my wife. She was standing over the sink, peeling some potatoes. I thought, well, this is funny. So I thought, well, I don't know. I wonder if she knows I'm here. And I called her name. She didn't say nothing. She didn't hear me, obviously. So my friend says, she won't hear you. No. So I says, well, I don't know what the world could I do. She says, there's nothing you can do. She says, but she may sense your presence. You never know. He says, let's just wait a little while. So I just stood there and I concentrated. He says to me, he says, concentrate your thought on her. Just think hard. You know, sing as hard as you can. You could think her name. And I did. And all of a sudden she stood up and she dropped down the knife and the potatoes she was peeling. And she looked very bewildered. She looked almost scared. And I thought, well, I was sorry in a way that I'd scared her because I thought, I said, this must be me trying to get at it, you know. Anyway, oh, she just flew out of the kitchen. And she opened the door and then she sort of shut it in, and then she sat down, and then she put her head on the table and started to cry. And I felt awful about this. I thought, oh dear, now, this is terrible. And then he says to me, he says, don't worry. He says, she senses, she feels, she knows in herself. She doesn't understand it, but she knows in herself that you're near her. So I said, well, if I'm going to make her miserable like this, there's not much point, is it? So he says, don't know that about you. He says, he's all connected to people. He says, they don't know. He says, really certainty. And they've never been told about life after death. He says, they've never been told about the possibility of communication and all that sort of thing. He says, but she'll come. She senses, she feels, and she herself, deep down inside, she knows. I says, well, isn't there nothing I can do? He says, there's nothing. He says, this is not the time. He says, you must wait. He says, later on. He says, perhaps we'll be able to do something. So I says, well, what will we do now? He says, well, he says, don't think you can do much more good here. I think the best thing for us is to go back. So I says, oh, all right. And I says, but I'd like to go to one or two other places before we go back, if I may. And he says, well, where do you want to go? So I thought, well, the interesting since, you know, I'd like to see various friends and them. So he says, well, all right. So I says, do you mind coming into a pub? He laughed when I said that. I says, you don't mind, do you? I says, it seems a strange request for me to ask you an angel, I says, to come into a pub. He says, we often go to the pubs and places. He says, and I'm not an angel, he says. So I says, well, I was under the impression that since you've been here, I've been highly respectable life and all that, you must be. I said, but I noticed you ain't got no wings. And he laughed again. He says, of course you don't have wings. He says, that's the old idea that a lot of religious people get on earth. He says, about angels having wings. He says, that's because they always think that the people, when they die, that is good people, he says, fly up into heaven. He says, and in the early days, he says, they used to think the only way to get up in the sky was to sprout wings like birds. He says, that's another one of the kinky things. He says, they get into the nuts, you know. Because he didn't put it right like that, it's my way of putting it. Anyway, he had a wonderful sense of humour, and I felt so settled in. So I says, well, I would like to go to this pub to see if it's all right. So I thought to myself, well, this is going to be a bit awkward, because he obviously wouldn't know where the pub is, and I don't know how to get there on behalf of the doctor as I am now situated, you know, no physical body, as you call it. So he says, I know what to think. He says, you just think of the place. He says, close your eyes and live there. So I thought, well, this is all right. So he put his hand out towards me. I thought, oh, well, I suppose I put my hand in his hand. He says, I did. Next thing I knew, I was standing in the bar of his pub. And there were three of my old mates there. And I went and stood up beside one. And I remember what I'd been told about a word to concentrate. It's the art, you see. Mm-hmm. And he got this mother beer up to his mouth. And I sing it to myself. His name, see. Always had a lot of that down on the counter, you know. And he looked quite bewildered and looked round. And then he said to his mates, my other two friends, he says, that's funny. He says, I felt sure I heard. He says, I felt sure I heard. So the other says, heard what? She says, didn't you hear that? He says, that didn't you know? And I thought, well, maybe he thought, I suppose, he's made a bit of a fool himself. So he's always the same. So that sort of love. He was up with you, mate, got the chairs, you know, and made a bit of a bark about it, but he heard. But it was done by my force. You understand? One of the first things I realized was that you don't have to talk to be heard. You've got to concentrate on it. It's a matter of thinking all the time that you want to get into touch or you want to do something. And then it's possible. You just can't do it by sort of speaking up in the old way. You know? Always my first sort of lesson, all this sort of thing. And then later on I was taken to a church, a spiritualist church. And I thought to myself, well, I can only get a message over to my wife, see. But she never went to that sort of things. So, of course, by this time I got off quite a bit. And my friend, this gentleman I've been telling you about, I realised he knew a lot more about him. After a time I realised that he was a leader of a vast group of people over here, and he was a teacher. And I learned a great deal at the time, you know, from his life. And later on he did say to me, he said, the only way, of course, if you can ever hope to get into touch with anyone connected with yourself on earth, is to go to a spiritualist church. I said to him, well, I've heard of about spiritualist churches and all that sort of thing, but I've never ever been to one. I think the missus did go to one years ago, but she wasn't that keen about it, you know, and I never encouraged it. Anyway, I thought, well, that's one way. So the oldest thing to do is a spiritualist church. So I trooped off to a spiritualist church, which is not so far from where we used to be. And was my missus one there. I went several times, she wasn't there, so I thought, well, the thing is, try to impress her to go to a spiritualist church. So I started visiting my missus again, and started to impress her to go to a church. This must have been all about 18 months after I'd called her out, you know, come out of so, anyway, after time, I got the idea to visit a spiritualist church. Anyway, she wouldn't go, and she got her sister Floss to go, see. So one night I was at the church. I knew I'd got her to decide to go because I'd been working all day on her. In fact, I'd been working on her several days before. Anyway, she did go on this particular occasion with Floss. And they were sitting at the back. And a medium was on the platform. And I thought, well, I took one look at her. And I thought, well, it would be my luck to get one like this. She didn't strike me as being much cop, you know. I'd seen them good and bad, you know. And this one seemed a bit on the only other side. And she talked about things which was all right. I'd say that she wanted to hold on to the evidence. And she didn't seem to be able to describe it. Well, so I thought, have a go, Jack, you know. Anyway, when she started to give me odd messages, I thought, well, I've got to get it here somehow, you know. I thought, well, I'll have to do something. So I concentrated like mad on her, you know. And eventually she picked it up.
Come on, Ansel, it's lovely. So what are you doing?
Got it all confused. She says, I think as There's something going to be very good for you, my dear. I see you rising, going up this ladder towards success, because this wasn't what I was telling the dancing meeting, with all due respect. But it's their interpretation, you see, at all. Anyway, eventually I was able to get a few bits over, and then I was able to get my name through. That was a hard bit, getting the Christian name through, see. Oh, and then my wife says, I think I understand all this very well, she says. And then she says, could I better kick my wife afterwards? Because she said, my husband was killed on the ladder and his name was out. I thought, well, I did get that over off the start, but we didn't muck it up a bit. Still, anyway, so we're away. Anyway, and then I thought, well, what can I say that I'm very cringed, see? So I thought to myself, now, really, it's something we're not here, you know. So I says, at least I'll concentrate on the meaning of that. I said, I should do that. Then I'm trying to get through it, because if you're saying it's going to mean you're never thinking it, see, it's all very difficult. So I says, I impressively do to say, that wind that you have on, that is not the wind, not the same wind. See, now this thing seems to make no sense to anyone, I suppose, but it had a great deal of significance to my missus. Because what actually happened here was, my wife lost her wedding ring. And she telephoned to let me know, she thought, that knowing that I'd be upset about it. So she got it, bought herself another one. Which was, cool intention and purpose identical. You see, so I thought, well, I knew about it, she said. Because I'd known that, since I'd been over, that may sound ultimately. It was in my wife's mind about this, that she had this wedding ring, new wedding ring, without my knowledge, and her son knew. Because since I've been overly alive, and I've been in touch with my wife, there's not much that I didn't know that went on. So I thought, well, I'll shake her, you know, so I thought, well, about the wedding ring, you see, and about not being efficient wedding ring, and about buying a new one, you see. Of course, she went quite white. So she says, well, how could anyway, could my husband know that? I never told him, I'd kept it from him and all that, you see. So, of course, the meat and cream and stuff, now that gives up on. Well, of course, she says, you know, that it's proof from your husband, isn't it, my dear? You see, you know, she was all la-la, she was getting out of the posh, you see. She felt good that night. Of course, after a great birthday, too, to give her a bit of a kiss, you know, something to see, say, get a bit down the steps, and they get a bad start at the meeting, they need something to buck them up, and I was glad I was able to do it. My wife was getting a little bit through, too, you know, it was nice, everybody. I was really happy about it. Anyway, my wife, she became very interested after that. And she went to several meetings. Of course, now, by the way, she did for me.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm talking about several years ago, you know.
Yes.
But I mentioned that she meant some description speech, didn't you, know? Just a shame, because both of these people are very nice, they're sincere, they're well-meaning, but half of them are half-baked, not really developed properly, and a lot of it is their imagination. Occasionally they do get something through. I mean, they're able to get something through their skulls, you know, and get it out, but see, the trouble is that they're other old dears, you know, they're trying to sort of get up there and, you know, sort of appear important to the rest of the congregation, and I suppose I shouldn't say this, they're well-meaning, but also they do a lot of harm. I think it was her first time getting to that meeting, but I don't think she'd ever done so well in her life. She was sort of now, she really got, you know, really thrilled about it. Good home going back for a long time.
Mr. Hibbins,
when you're
doing
something,
what are you doing on the other side? What are you doing on the other side? How are you spending your time?
Well, I'm very, very happy in the various things that I do. I know it sounds crazy to you, I can't help but get down to the base, but certainly a lot of people would understand this, but I got a great deal of pleasure in looking after other people's assets, and helping them get settled when they first come there. Doing little things for them. You see, people get inside here and they good places over here are not the same as on earth. But in a sense, that's true, they're not quite the same. But people like a home, and they like things around them that they've been used to, they like colour in their home and beauty, and often you get some poor old soul come here that perhaps had a little one little bedroom and always wants you to have a nice little place, perhaps you'll be there in the country surrounding and have perhaps a pet dog or cat. Or some companion, you know, and here we're able to help those dears, you know. People just don't realise on your side the unhappiness that there is in the back streets, the way tucked away. People see little of what really goes on. Most people are so interested in themselves and their own lives that they either don't think or they want to know about what goes on among so many people. Here when they come, there's some of these poor old cities, the local people, some of them perhaps
somewhat lived on her own for years. I'm always interested in the old folk. Mm. And of course, post office do have a complete relationship and welcome them and all that. But I like to feel that I can help with getting them set in their home, and I do little jobs and help generally. We do decorate. People think this sounds a silly, but you see, I'm talking about the conditions of a life, which in some ways is all after the world in which we live is very simple and satisfied and very natural. And many single human beings, most of them wants to come from your world. Who's just been an ordinary person, a kind person, not particularly bright or clever or talented. We don't want to suddenly become angels and go into a state of being which would make them feel most uncomfortable, and in any case, even if they began to realize it, they'd really appreciate it, because the condition of life that some people talk about is if it's the sort of life only that they should expect is so ridiculous, is so far-fetched, and so, well, I mean, it springs from, obviously, from the old idea of things that if you've been very good, you go to a beautiful world, and you sort of become an angel, and you become holy, holy, and all the rest of it. That's not living, that's a sort of state of mind which, really, when it's out of hope and that's capacity, comes into the real world in which there's all kinds of actions and all kinds of thoughts predominate in life. And we have our houses, we have our places that we go to, where we have wonderful music, and we can entertain our friends, and they visit us, we visit them. We have educational centres, we have great libraries where there's wonderful books you can read, and places you can go to where you can see wonderful, I suppose you call them films, although they're not really films, as you understand it, because in this way I can describe it, in which you can see depicted all manner of things appertaining to the to man and his development and life, and how the evolution of nations and peoples and have evolved. And here we can live together in peace and harmony and colour and nationality. We're nothing to us. We're all seekers, we're all children of God, developing and progressing together in love and in harmony. There's none of this nonsense which you get on earth, and none of this narrow-mindedness and this pettiness. There's no friction like there is in your world between religions and organizations and political parties and all that sort of thing. Here we understand that. Here we realize that we're all truly part of God's kingdom. We're all part of his handiwork, and that we're all striving to develop and to better ourselves mentally and spiritually. And we're very human. A lot of people seem to think from your side that as soon as we come here, we cease to be human beings. We cease to be the same people. Of course, we're the same people, but we're a little bit wiser, a little bit more sensible, and a little bit more understanding, a little more fabric. I would say a lot more fabric. We just don't have our sick ideas that get taught year in, year out, and also all this narrow creed and all the rest of it that doesn't help God's children, it separates them. Oh, God's children have the opportunity of survival in the highest sense, spiritually and mentally. You know, I wish I could state things better. I don't know that much more about what you were going to say.
You
have a wife, because you're living in the house with your wife now. We have a very nice little place that suits us. Quite near a big, I suppose you call it a town. It's just on the outskirts of a great gathering of people who live in a, well, I can only say it is a kind of town. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly the same as you would call it a town, but community, if you like, which is a wonderful word for me. Oh, I wish I could explain what life is really like. No one needs to die. I'm looking forward to meeting. I must go.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.